We present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello, and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an online review of Paver's sandals, read by Neil Sleet.
Good. I bought them for my mother. Sturdy, but still attractive.
Our thanks to Mary Golder for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. We will welcome first, on my right, Kerry Godleman and Katie Perrier. And opposite them, on my left, the guilty feminists, Kima Bob and Angela Barnes. Kerry, who's got a leaky defence?
OK, so like most people, I had very strong feelings about Gavin Williamson. I had very strong feelings that I might have heard of him. I think he's a rugby player. I know he's in defence. Anyway, he has been sacked. He was the defence minister since 2017. Basically, the National Security Council had a meeting about whether it was a threat to national security to let the Chinese tech firm Wei Wawo. To build some of the UK's 5G network. He said he didn't do it. He swore on his children's lives that he wasn't the cause of the leak. We don't know if he's got children, but he swore. No,
but if he has, we haven't met him.
No.
Like, I've met some children and some of them are definitely dispensable.
He clearly thought his were, because he swore on their life. And it has been a tough week for him, because he has lost his job. And then both his children were taken away by eagles. The government are saying that he didn't necessarily break the law, but Theresa May has said that she no longer has any confidence in him. We're all amazed that Theresa May remembers what confidence feels like.
To be fair to Theresa May, she didn't realise they were Chinese. She thought they were from Newcastle.
Kima, are you excited by this story?
I was mostly excited by Gavin's face. Seems like I'm getting the vibe from you guys that he's like a bad guy. But he's also like a handsome guy. And if he's out of work, then I might have a job for him as like my concubine or something. Is that appropriate? I don't know what
that
happens.
That is a completely appropriate
Radio
use 4, of public service
yeah.
broadcasting. Yeah, yeah. Now, you presumably know him, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Is he available for that sort of work?
I'm not his agent. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. I always remember once being at number 10 and a phone call came in from Gavin that said, look, this is quite embarrassing, but a man on Sunday have been on the phone and they've said that I said some things about Theresa May before she became Prime Minister under the old government and I didn't say them. So I thought, right, OK, well, it doesn't matter. That was a long time ago. What is it you said? He said, well, they're going to splash with this story that I went around saying that she was a charisma-free bitch. I did not say that. I was like, thanks very much, Gavin, bye. I've been through two leak investigations at number 10, and you rock up and they go, OK, so do you know this journalist? Yes. Have you spoken to this journalist? Yes. You do know it's my job to speak to journalists, don't you? And they go, oh, right, OK, great, we thought we got you then. And I say, you're not even going to look at my phone? And they go, oh, right, thanks. And they take the phone off you, like, swipe it, as if they're a Tinder addict. And they go, oh, no, you're right then. Thanks very much. Bye.
I'm just like, what will 5G mean for us? Like, will I be able to send myself through it?
I think 5G is what we will need in order to have driverless cars. For
the Chinese are going to be in charge of our driverless cars.
Oh.
Is that bad?
Don't know.
Drive on the left or right? Because that would be a. That'd be like the first thing, wouldn't it?
Because as long as they all do, they're in charge of all the driverless cars.
Oh, I suppose they just have passengers that were a bit surprised. Yeah. We're going down the wrong side. It's all right. Everyone is. He's been sacked essentially for wrongdoing, but she is busily compromising our national security. So there's a sort of degree of irony about that, I do think. But also, the information that we know as a result of the leak, we do, I think, have a right to know. Whoever's leaked it, it could be him or it could be somebody else. They have, in a way, done the right thing, but they've also broken the law. So, it's a bit of a pickle.
These accidental leaks can happen. Ask any woman in her 40s.
This is the news that Defence Secretary Gavin Williamson has been sacked following an inquiry into a leak from a top-level National Security Council meeting. Williamson strenuously denied ever leaking information before adding, "Don't tell anyone I told you this, but it was definitely Penny Mordaunt." Gavin Williamson said he'd been screwed by Theresa May. Not the most outlandish thing he's said in office, but perhaps the most easily adaptable into the self-published erotic e-book he will now pen in his fusty man shed. It's hard to judge Williamson objectively as a result of his extraordinarily changeable face. From some angles, he looks like a man who'd help your grandma buy her shopping, and from others, he looks like you'd catch him at midnight torching his clothes in a burn barrel. 2 points to Kerry. Katie, what's caused a crisis in Caracas?
Well, this is where it's all kicking off in Venezuela. A country that's so admired by Jeremy Corbyn, I should add. There's clashes between opposition supporters and pro-government forces. This opposition leader, Guaido, he felt that he was going to get this big push, a bit like the Arab uprising in terms of it was going to really go some. You need to be able to persuade the public sector workers to come out in force, and it's kind of just gone quietly away, and they've gone back to their jobs.
I felt a bit sorry for him, because it's like, I'm going to start an uprising, and he went out there, and it just sort of fell flat. It's like, have you ever tried to start a three cheers, and no one joins in?
Who does Jeremy Corbyn recognise as the current leader of Venezuela?
Himself.
What do you think's going on here? I mean, is this...
Well, it's intriguing, isn't it, that Donald Trump is taking quite a personal interest in the crisis. And then I realised when I read a fact that said Venezuela has had more Miss Worlds than anyone else, I was like, ah.
Jeez.
I'll explain that. Americans have said that they want a peaceful transfer of power in Venezuela, but I don't know if I trust them. The last time the Americans said that, it was written on the side of a rocket, so...
As an American, I want to say America should probably shut up.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it sounds a bit far-fetched because Russia's accusing America of helping to stage the coup, and that sounds very far-fetched. I mean, there's no history of them ever doing that, is there?
Yeah.
You count, I don't know, Nicaragua, Mexico, Samoa, Hawaii, Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Philippines, Panama, Honduras, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Egypt, Syria, Iran, Guatemala, Laos, Indonesia, Lebanon, Iraq, Brazil, Vietnam, Greece, Bolivia, Chile, Afghanistan, Poland, El Salvador, Grenada, Kuwait, Yugoslavia and Libya. I mean, that's just me being pedantic, really.
Well, Angela gets a point for being the one speaking when the whistle went.
I'm going to be honest, I'm not a huge fan.
Of America or Venezuela?
America. And I think we should all ask ourselves, how did South America get into its current position? What happened down there? Was it always this way? Where did the corruption start? This isn't comedy. It's not jokes.
I do feel for you, because like we sat there just sort of, and I was being horrible about America, and I feel for Americans at the moment, because most of you didn't vote for Donald Trump, obviously. And I know, you know, you're all being represented on a global stage by a moron, and it's horrible. I know what that's like. It's like when my dad used to go to my parents' evenings. It's horrible.
Do you know what you can't do in the 24 hours before an election in Venezuela?
Party.
You're warm?
Drink.
You cannot buy alcohol in the 24 hours before an election in Venezuela.
Well, only that had happened in June 2016.
So do you think there is a sort of drunken impulse voting or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
People just absolutely just steaming into polling.
It was people coming out of Wetherspoons to vote was the problem, wasn't it? Oh, I'm going to get tweets. I love it. Whenever I do this programme, I get told I'm part of the liberal media elite, and I love it. I've never been in a gang before.
This is the news that the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, has accused his opponents of attempting a coup after clashes between anti- and pro-government protesters in the capital. Brazilian president Jair Bolsonaro claims that a crack in the Maduro-supporting Venezuelan military has been revealed. Be it true or not, revealing a crack is exactly the sort of behaviour that finally got me kicked out of the Sea Cadets. Just a rebel with no regrets over here. Admiral Edgelord at your service, at ease, sailors. Due to the rise of trade-based corruption in the 1970s, Venezuelan diplomat Juan Pablo Perez Alfonso described oil as being the devil's excrement. There's a man who didn't live long enough to try a Pret-a-Manger kale crisp. In Venezuela, it's illegal to purchase alcohol 24 hours before voting in an election, which would not have gone down well in the US elections, as we all know how Russians love their vodka. The no alcohol rule came in after a 2016 ballot resulted in the surprise election of a Senor Boaty El Boatface. 2 points to Katie. Kima, have a listen to this. For making your mind up.
Hang on, let me put my skirt back on.
Kima, who's committed to being non-committal?
Jeremy C. Jeremy Corbyn. Is that whatever? Do people call him JC?
No.
Let's get it started. Jeremy Corbyn has rejected a second referendum and people are grumpy, rumpy, rumpy. They are so mad about it. And the Labour manifesto has been criticised with fiery insults that all kind of sound like candy. It's been accused of having mealy-mouthed wording and including unicorn demands and being the Labour Party's latest fudge, which is crazy because I'm really interested in this range of fudges. Like unicorn fudge sounds delicious. It sounds kind of like a dessert for millennials that you can only buy with like Bitcoin and likes. It seems great. I don't know what's wrong with unicorn demands. I have minotaur desires. That's a bull man. Anyway, I'm super confused. Like, I had to teach myself what a referendum was backstage. Like, why is the word so big? Does using longer words buy your politicians more time? I shouldn't understand it. I'm American. I'm not meant to. I know that you guys understand it 100%. You're all very clear on it. It seems like your government is very clear on it. And I guess my only... My only question, Miles, is who's your MEP?
I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you know who your regional MEP is, then you are your regional MEP.
Mine is called Ian... I just call him Ian.
It's a weird situation, isn't it? Because he's basically a leaver who's been forced by his party to back Remain, whereas Theresa May... is a Remainer being forced by her party to back... I mean, those cross-party talks must be like Alice through the looking glass.
Just two people saying to each other, I envy you.
The opposite of what they actually want. And, I mean, with Jeremy Corbyn, it's like he doesn't actually want to be elected.
He can't change. He's never going to change. It's like a soap opera. You've got all the independent groups saying to Tom Watson, just leave him. He'll change. He's never going to change. He can't change. Do, 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 do. And this whole table analogy, I've had enough with everything being on the table. All the time, it's like we're keeping everything on the table.
Where should we keep everything? Aside?
Well, maybe go to IKEA, get some storage solutions.
The thing is that everybody thinks the Conservative Party is really split over Brexit, which it is, but the Labour Party is really split as well. So you've got some MPs saying that we're going to put the second referendum back on the table, and you've got Leave MPs like Gloria DiPiro saying, no, we're definitely not having any of that. And when Barry Gardiner, who is in Corbyn's shadow cabinet, was asked on the radio the other day, can you just clarify exactly what you mean? They reminded him of when he was asked what he thought of Labour's Brexit policy a few months ago, and he said, it's bollocks, it's always been bollocks.
Well, I suppose with Corbyn, that if you're trying to appeal to many people at once, if you don't say anything, then you can't be accused of misleading people.
Yeah, well, he looks like Magic Grandpa, stroke Father Christmas. So if you just don't open your mouth, you can really go far. I mean, you know.
Who is Magic Grandpa? Yeah.
You were just saying that a magic grandpa was stroking Father Christmas, and I was like, I've got to see this video. Sounds hot.
Is it a magic grandpa, or is there a character called Magic Grandpa? That
well, everybody just calls him Magic Grandpa, but...
Who does?
Just people...
I've never heard that in my...
Are there other people that you can see that we can't?
It's like when you get someone's name wrong at work, and then 5 years later you go, I've been calling her Sheila.
You're going to go home tonight and go, there isn't a magic grandpa, is there? There's not a magic grandpa.
You're all going to be proved very wrong. You're going to be Googling as soon as you come out of here. Everyone's going to know apart from this room.
Do we need to use private browser, or is it... This is the news that Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has rejected calls to back a second referendum. In protest at Corbyn's decision, Tom Watson staged what he called a polite walkout. This was followed by Emily Thornberry courteously flicking the V's and Keir Starmer taking a gentlemanly dump in Corbyn's briefcase. Magic Grandpa can turn them into gold. This was all seen as a move to fight off the Brexit Party. Not that fighting off the Brexit Party is an easy task, since Anne Widdecombe has got them all to follow her morning regimen to get fired up, eating 9 kilograms of raw brisket straight off the back of Aquarobics, then shotgunning a Relentless and being reminded that gay people can now marry. Breakaway group Change UK have said if Labour voters are unhappy with the decision, they should lend them their vote. They also asked if they could lend them a dozen more politicians, some free office space, £5 to put on the meter, and the credibility they imagine they deserve. Mr Corbyn left party HQ by a back entrance in a people carrier, which was briefly blocked by pro-Remain campaigners before they stepped out of the way, proving Remain is basically Extinction Rebellion for people too cowardly to glue their genitals to a hot exhaust pipe. 2 points to Kima. Angela, who's calling for a change in procedure?
Right, well, this is a story about digital consent forms that allow police to seize mobile devices and access text, emails and images during criminal investigations, which is a lol fest. The cases where this is most likely to be used are cases of sexual assault and rape. And it concerns me deeply because this is just too open to being used to victim blame. There's still a lot of people, and including the police, who are not mature enough to be able to separate someone's actual lifestyle and an assault. So, I'm sorry, I'm not being very funny, but I feel really quite strongly about this. Because, you know, someone might, I don't know, send saucy text messages or think that knickers are too much admin, it doesn't mean that they are immune to being sexually assaulted, you know. And this feels like it's going to particularly affect younger people because, you know, you ask my mum to hand over a mobile phone, she'd have to find it first, you know, then charge it, then put some money on it, and then realise she's accidentally picked up the squeaky dog toy. Like, it's not going to affect her as much, but it will affect young people who that is the way they communicate. And, I mean, sexting is a bit... I've never sent a sext. So I couldn't write a sext. I don't know what to put on a birthday card, but it's... you know, it's a way of communicating that isn't illegal and isn't... And so you shouldn't be judged on your character because of some certain activity you might have on your mobile phone, you know. And sure, the police and the Crown Prosecution Service say that they only use them when they're pertinent to the case, but who decides that? Who decides what's pertinent to a case and what isn't? That it's so open to judgment, and I'm just sick of victims being judged constantly when these things come to trial. And there was something that happened to me a couple of years ago, and I learned a really valuable lesson. I was on a tube in London in the rush hour, and there was a man standing next to me on the tube. You know what it's like in the rush hour, you're jostling up against each other with the rhythm of the train, and it very quickly became apparent that he was jostling up against me with a very different rhythm to that of the train, and with a very particular and excited part of his body. Right, now I always thought if something like that happened, what I'd do is scream and kick him in the balls, right? That's what you think you would do. But I didn't. I froze on the spot and I couldn't move because your brain won't let you believe that it's happened. Anyway, we got to a station, he got off the train and I got home and I was really angry, and I wasn't angry with him, I was angry with me because I'd responded wrong, you know. And I got home and I eventually reported it to the police, and the police were really good because they told me that this happens all the time on public transport, so much so there's a word for it, they call it frottage, which frankly isn't good enough. It's a sex assault, it's not a cheese, but anyway. The point is that I realised in that moment that I would never, ever, ever again judge a woman for not reacting the way I think she should have, because I didn't. You know, we always say, well, why did she stay with him so long, to women, you know? Why didn't she report it before? That all these people that are coming forward now with hashtag me too, well, why didn't she say anything at the time? It's because you don't want your brain to allow you to believe it's happened. What I'm trying to get at, I guess, is that there's the danger that, yes, somebody may be assaulted by someone and then send them a text message later. That doesn't mean that they gave consent to that thing that happened. All that means is that something in them is trying to make it all normal and okay and like it didn't happen. Yeah, that's it. Got nothing.
No, I hear it.
Thank
There's even cases where women have given their phone over and then she got it back after 2 years and discovered that it hadn't even been turned on.
I tell you what I'm going to do. If they ask for my phone, I'm going to give them the old Nokia 210 I've had in my cupboard. And also, you might have stuff on your phone that's nothing to do with the crime.
Like tax fraud.
Like tax fraud. You know, you can have all sorts of things on your phone that I don't want to, some random...
Totally. I don't want the cops seeing my nipples.
The phrase you use that I'm over the moon with is knickers admin, because... Because that is something that I need a phrase for. Yeah. The other day, I thought there was a lump on my leg, but it was yesterday's knickers stuck down my stuck down my skinny jeans.
I once accidentally sent a topless shot to someone, and it was to my mum. I was in a really nice hotel, and I don't often get to stay in really nice hotels. Someone else was paying for it. I was in there, and it had a really nice bath, so I took a photo of it and sent it to my mum, and I didn't realise it was just a reflection of me in the mirror. That's the nearest I've come to sending a sext.
This is the news that sexual assault victims are being told they must hand over their phones to the police or face their cases being dropped. The move comes as convictions for these sorts of crime are at their lowest in a decade, at 1.7%. Scotland Yard's Assistant Commissioner Nicholas F. Grave admitted, "I wouldn't relish that myself, but then if he didn't like the idea, maybe he shouldn't be wearing such a revealing suit and giving a press conference at that time of night." Police responded, "It's not their intention to invade privacy. They simply want to borrow the phone so they can yell loudly into them, 'Siri, how do you solve a crime?'" 2 points to Angela. And at the end of round one, the scores are Kerry and Katie have 4, but Kima and Angela have 5. We start round two with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph.
Railway workers too often have to jump for their lives to avoid being hit by a train. Britain's chief inspector of rail accidents has described the near misses as hugely disappointing.
Thanks to Jeremy Duncan and everyone else who sent us that. Kerry, who's wearing the Emperor's new clothes?
This is the story that Emperor Akihito is abdicating. He is 85 and he has basically said that he is no longer capable of doing the job, so he's stepping down. Do you think Theresa May might have heard that? He's no longer capable of doing the job, so he's stepping down. And it was exciting because we were all waiting to see who the new emperor would be, and by a staggering coincidence, it's actually the son of the bloke that did it before. There must have been quite a moment at the ceremony. Dad? Son, what are you doing here? Well, I'm going to be sworn in as the new emperor of Japan. Well, you won't believe what's just happened. I've only just given the job up. So, they don't wear a crown. They get given a sacred sword and a gem and a mirror. And then I assume with the words, "You will know when it's time to use them." The new emperor and his wife, they're expected to have a more modern approach. And I do love it when they say things like this, like, "You can sanely be an inherited figurehead monarch in a modern way." Like when they talk about our royal family moving with the times, because it's so 21st century to have magic blood and live in a castle. Our queen must be so jealous. I bet she's like, "Oh, can I just abdicate?" Because last time we had an abdication, I mean, everyone was really cross. And she's like, "Come on, let me go. You've got the crown. You've got Meghan. Let me go.
I don't think she wants to go. I reckon at Buckingham Palace yesterday morning, Charles came in with the newspaper, just opened at that page. Just like, yeah. Have a look at that, Mum.
Yeah, it is a weird thing. Like, it's quite fascinating, their monarchy, because there is an older daughter, I think, isn't there?
Yeah.
And she can't become the new emperor, because the women don't do it.
Well, no, because emperor is a position exclusive to men and penguins. Everyone knows that.
But then it might have to happen. So they've got a very short succession line. They will get to a point when it will almost certainly have to be a lady.
Really?
Yeah, further down the line.
Well, they've all left the gig because they've all married commoners. They're not commoners, though, are they? Like, highly successful, you know.
By the way, Kate's a commoner.
Yeah, they said Kate was a commoner, but she's not drinking 3-for-1 Bacardi breezes and...
She's not hanging out in Primarni any time.
No, she's not.
What would be then this sort of succession system you don't like? You think it should be sort of what put out to tender, I suppose?
Yeah, you could do it like a lottery.
X Factor,
yeah, get Simon Cowell involved.
Admissions are now open for the role of Emperor of Japan.
Yeah.
Well, just lots do of people it like that have done sort of various bits of sort of Gilbert and Sullivan Amdram might think, well, I've done it once. Absolutely loved it in the village hall. They applauded for ages.
Why not? Yeah. What, that's no more ridiculous than the current system.
Well, put that in writing and we'll get that out there to them. This is the news that Japan has a new emperor, Naruhito, after his father Akihito became the first emperor to abdicate in 200 years. In its long history, Japan has had 126 emperors, which means, in terms of leaders, it's on level pegging with UKIP since Nigel Farage left. Akihito abdicated just weeks before Donald Trump's state visit at the end of May, which is most definitely a coincidence, said Akihito, as his son turned off the porch light and hid behind the sofa, pretending to be out. Japan has the oldest hereditary monarchy in the world, with legend dating the family back to 660 BC, which is nothing. In 3000 BC, a distant ancestor of mine was making hilariously dry quips about local mammoth legislation and chuckling, 2 points to Ugg. The current dynasty's short line of succession raises the intriguing possibility that perhaps one day a woman could be emperor, although obviously in a separate league with a slightly shorter tee-off distance. 2 points to Kerry. Katie, who's not okay with change?
Ah, well, these are the Scrabble players, because Scrabble has issued a new list of acceptable words. You can now get 20 points for yowza or genderqueer.
Apparently they've added the word fleek.
Yeah.
I mean, saying something when I'm less down with the kids than a Scrabble professional. I don't know.
What's fleek?
Fleek.
What is it?
Precisely.
What?
Oh, let's ask our young person.
It's your local under 25 here.
What is fleek?
Fleek is like when something is on point. Do I need to elaborate on point?
Yes. Yeah.
On point is kind of like when something looks great, you know, like it's situated perfectly. So if your eyebrows are freshly done, then you would say that your eyebrows are on fleek. And I fully support fleek. I'm glad it's in there. I feel like it's a small win for, like, young, like, hip culture. I'm still fighting for Bootylicious, but I think that one day we
if you
really
got that on triple word score, you'd smash it.
You know what I mean?
There's Scrabble board in one in five households across the US. I'm not being funny, but not that bright.
I used to think I was really good at Scrabble because I used to play my nan at Scrabble every week, and then I realised I was just good at beating my nan at Scrabble. Yeah. But what I find playing Scrabble is a bit like going to an old school friend's wedding reception. You know, you just end up at a table with a load of useless exes. Thank you.
There's quite a few new Scrabble words. I want you to buzz in. You can't. Just shout.
We can... There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, clear your throat in a really unpleasant...
That's a buzzer sound.
It is lovely. Okay, here's some new ones. Hackerazzo. Kerry?
It's when you go into the computer of someone that's a rat catcher. What?
That's right, yes. If you hack Rent-A-Kill. Oh, no, it's someone who hacks a celebrity's personal computer. Zomboid.
Zomboid. Is that a rectangular zombie?
No, it's something that resembles a zombie.
Wow.
These are silly. Wow. This
no,
is
they're
silly.
Not silly. It's very important.
These Scrabble people are maniacs, aren't they? Brett Smitherham, he describes Scrabble as an adrenaline sport. That is a man who has never sledged down the stairs on a beanbag. My dad's mad about Scrabble. He plays every week with his brother.
Well, he's an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah. And he's really, like, intense when you play with him. Because you think, oh, we'll just have a little bit of fun. Especially when you play with, like, children. When he plays with my kids, I'm like, this is good because we're learning words and spelling and whatever. And he's like, no, you play by the rule. And he'll put all these two-letter words down. And, no, you can have that. You can have octopi. Octopi. It's a letter. It might not be a letter. And he starts explaining. It's
I'm
like,
afraid.
They're two. They're three.
I'm with your dad.
Well, this is gossip.
Rules are important, and I think if you're going to play...
Children are their happiness.
No, they've got to learn... If you're going to play a board game, you play it by the rules, otherwise there's no point. And if you don't, I will read at you angrily from the lid. Yeah. I'm that prick.
They're expecting magic. tragic grandpa and this absolute total despot turns up.
No, it's not despotic. It's just you don't want to be, like, crazy about these things, but at the same time, if people don't obey rules, they don't deserve to be part of society. This is the news that Scrabble have approved the use of a range of new words, including genderqueer and fleek. This modernising move by a board game rather puts me in mind of the time Mrs. Bunn, the baker's wife, suggested polyamory. A difficult adjustment for Mr. Bunn, but a real big hitter in terms of points. The recent additions have included the word shebagging, which is when a lady takes a seat on public transport with a handbag and not, as I assumed, a logistically complicated sex act that requires a very simple safe word and a lax attitude to shame. Mansplaining has also been added as a valid word in Scrabble, though if you're playing with a group of women and they dispute it's a real word, probably best not to argue your case. The new list of words will be adopted into competitive Scrabble from July, so I know where I'll be at 1 minute to midnight on the 30th of June, weeping in the shed. Like every other night. 2 points to Katie. Kima, take a listen to this. Oh, well, a haunting reminder of an innocence lost. Kima, who's got 99 problems?
Ice cream truck drivers, that's who. London councils are trying to ban ice cream vans, which is so sad. Among other things, they're hoping to cut down on illegal trading, which is a huge bummer for me because I don't know where else to get both pot and popsicles. They're also worried about air pollution because ice cream vans use diesel fuel, which emits like a harmful gas that can stunt the growth of lungs. And this gas is called black carbon, which I find pretty offensive because I feel like they wouldn't have an issue with white carbon.
And also, that is nothing compared to what's in a Mr. Whippy.
That's so weird. And the sun, they just put snowflake in front of something and all of a sudden it has meaning. And they're like, snowflake, health and safety, killjoys are stealing treats from kids. Yeah, because they're trying to give them a future with full-grown lungs. It's out of control. Anyway, yeah, this could mean no more 99s on a warm summer day. That's right. That's no flakes for snowflakes.
Ice creams are so illicit in North London. Now, if you want a Cornetto, you've got to buy it in a heroin bag.
I don't buy my heroin in plastic bags. I bring my own hemp.
The problem is the freezers, basically. They need
you
the engine
to keep the engine
the
running, yeah.
But it's a sort of technology problem. It must be possible to sort of...
Yeah. It must be possible, that's what I mean.
You can charge while it's moving.
Solar-powered one.
Solar bicycle doodah, whatnot. And he could be curling out sort of cashew, vegan... yogurt, ice cream, into a moon cup. They've always been a bit dodgy, haven't they, ice cream vans? The music's a giveaway. It's like a child catcher on a broken piano.
You've got to worry, like, what's going to happen to the people who make that music, you know? And I've got a solution, I think.
I don't think it's played live. OK, guys, can you pull up your instruments? Pick
you
up your instruments
from a bunch of... She's going to tell me there's no magic grandpa.
There is sense to this. I mean, this is the idea of people, that engines always idling.
I mean, ice cream vans aren't the problem. They're only out one afternoon in August every year.
This is the news that ice cream vans are to be banned from operating in some areas of London over concerns about air pollution. Most ice cream vans emit a sooty substance called black carbon, a lovely treat me and my chums used to lap up in the 1980s until those fun snatchers in Brussels inexplicably deemed carcinogenic toppings to be a no-no. That deal cannot come soon enough. An ice cream van is one of the two times I will run towards where music is coming from. The other time is when I'm in the queue for the toilets and Beyoncé's Crazy in Love comes on. Hold my drink, Juppie's on the twerk train. 2 points to Kima. Angela, who's come from Russia with blub?
Oh, I'm so excited about this story. This is so up my alley. So a beluga whale has been found off the coast of Norway wearing a special Russian harness, and they think it was probably trained by the Russian Navy. According to an expert, the harness had a GoPro camera holder and a label that sources it to St. Petersburg, which isn't what you'd call five-star espionage, that, is it? It's not like James Bond turned up wearing a name tag that said, the name's Bond, James Bond, how can I help you? Do you know what I mean? And apparently, though, breaking news, apparently they found another one of these whales swimming up the River Avon. But it's OK, because it was just there to see the famous Salisbury Cathedral. So that's... What I want to know is, why was it wearing a harness? Like, was Putin riding it? Was...
I don't know why no one has just come to the simple conclusion that this whale was probably just trying out a belted look.
It was on fleek.
It's fashion.
Are they going around sort of analysing some fortifications? And what?
No, they can go deep down, deep down diving.
To see lots of plastic.
Deep down diving,
deep down.
Do, 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 do. They became
suspicious, and the Norwegians were like, oh, this isn't right, when the whale sort of came above water and went, the partridge has landed on the...
Whales are perfect for this job, aren't they? Because
This job. They'll probably keep it cleaner.
They're perfect spies because they're great at covert operations, because I once paid 60 quid for a whale watching tour and saw bugger all.
They said it was an unusual harness. Like, not that it was a harness.
Not a normal whale harness.
Normal whale harness.
I love this stuff. Like, there's loads of animals have been used for spying in loads of different ways. And it's really fun. Like, did you know the CIA had a thing in during the Cold War where they decided it was Project Acoustic Kitty, it was called, and they were going to plant listening devices in cats. This is absolutely true. And they send the cats out around the Soviet embassy and where Soviet agents hung out so that they could listen in. But on day one, this is absolutely true, the first one they tried it with got run over outside the Soviet embassy. The Soviets came out, found it. Well, was this in this cat's squashed stomach? And that was game over. So my favourite is Operation Columba in World War II, which was spy pigeons. It was a really big thing. So anyone who raised homing pigeons, they were basically, the pigeons were sort of seconded by the government and were dropped into enemy territory in occupied France by parachute. And then they would be found by resistance fighters, and then loads of information loaded up on them, and then they'd be released. And because they were homing pigeons, they'd bring the information straight back. When you're not laughing, you're learning. So I love it. There's a really good exhibition at Bletchley Park about, it's called Pigeons at War.
Why has Disney never run with this as a storyline?
Spy pigeons?
Yes, absolutely. All the spy animals.
The most famous one, loads of animals were awarded the Dickens Medal in the war for spying. Jesus. And which
oh,
I think
man,
is amazing.
I want to see this cartoon so bad.
Fall in love.
Yes.
And they're getting a medal and stuff, and they're like...
What I love about it is there's absolutely no way any of those animals knew they were spying, right? So
well, neither did Michael Foote.
Just get given medals. And I just think, well, maybe we're having medals bestowed on us by animals without us knowing. Maybe that's what happens when a pigeon craps on you.
Like when my cat peed on my pillow, he was like, world's best mum.
Yeah.
What do you think the secrets are at the bottom of the sea that they're...
Have you not seen Blue Planet? Loads goes on down there.
What, that's secret?
Well, yeah, David Attenborough sort of busted it.
Have you not seen Aquaman?
I've not seen Aquaman.
Although... Oh, there's a lot going on down there.
This is the news that a whale found wearing a harness by fishermen in Norway could be a Russian weapon. If the whale gets caught, he could be tried as an international espionage agent and thrown into a tiny cage with limited sunlight and food for the rest of his life. Sorry, SeaWorld. He could be taken to SeaWorld. Of course, wearing a harness isn't proof the whale was spying for St. Petersburg. Perhaps it was just rinsing off the sweat after a late night at the leather bar. This whale, despite being a supposed international spy, has reportedly been letting people pet it on the nose. I feel its pain. I try to be serious and diplomatic on this show, but the moment Neil Sleet reaches over, whispering, "Here comes the tickle monster," I just melt into giggles. Cruel of the Russians to use whales for spying instead of their true purpose, jumping through hoops to distract children from their parents' divorce. In 2007, the US military was spending $14 million a year on its marine program, which involved 75 mine-sweeping dolphins. Due to budget cuts, they've now just got one haddock with an attitude problem. 2 points to Angela. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they would like to share? Kerry.
Joe Moore in Blagden, North Somerset, found this advice in a co-op insurance document. Take precautions to protect your home. For example, put door and window keys in a secure location where everyone can find them.
Katie.
This is a sign spotted by Mervyn Griffiths and Alison Elliott in a Southampton cemetery. Please note that chemical spraying of the bramble is taking place and so do not pick blackberries to eat. Once dried, the chemicals should pose no hazard to pets. Should you have any concerns, please contact bereavement services on 0203. Thank you for your cooperation.
Kima.
This is an advert spotted by Emma Rolfsthorne. That's the last name. For sale, adult party game based on 50 Shades of Grey. Includes expansion pack.
Angela.
Okay, this has been sent in from David Stubbs in Twickenham, who spotted this on a website for a new Lidl and school being built near Richmond in Surrey. It says, please feel free over the course of the 2 days to utilise the peepholes within the hoarding to see the erection process in action.
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Kerry and Katie have 8, but this week's winners are Kima and Angela with 9. Before we leave you, here is a story from the Metro, sent to us by Robin Young.
The Queen of the Crimp is celebrating 50 years of Cornish pasty making. Mary Code, 87, says it's all down to time and patience. If you go slow, you're all right, but if you try to rush it, you end up with a huge knob at the end.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Kerry Godleyman, Katie Perrier, Kima Bob and Angela Barnes. In the chair was Miles Jupp, and the news was read by me, Neil Sleet. The chair's script was written by Ed Amsden, Madeline Brettingham, Tom Coles and Sarah Morgan, with additional material by Dan Beckett, Catherine Brinkworth, Lee Dilley and Kat Sadler. The producer was Sarah Sharp, and it was a BBC Studios production.